Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I was thankful we had, you know, we had 11 guys to practice today, and you know, we have to use practice too. We talk a lot about the games, KC, but you know, as a coach, you know that we got to use our practice days, and this was one of them. So we don't have many of them. They're like gold, man. I was thankful we had, you know.
I mean, like Eddie Goldman or just like Gold Man?
Gold Man. Ah. Yeah, that's how that worked.
That's Jim Boylan. And if you really want to get inside his head, you read the two-piece Darnell Mayberry report at The Athletic when he... That's Jim Boylan in all his glory, man.
Yes, it is.
He, unapologetic. He is who he is, and you got absolutely every bit of it. Darnell Mayberry joins us now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, home of F-150s, for $229 per month. He's on Twitter at Darnell Mayberry and with us on The Score. Really good stuff, Darnell. That the access was tremendous. How'd you negotiate that?
Thanks. I appreciate it. I sort of lucked into it. I didn't expect it, and Jim Boylan just kind of offered it up. I thought I was going in to, you know, kind of do a Q&A and have a sit-down interview, and then all of a sudden I'm in the film room, and he's breaking down the pick-and-roll coverage. And it was just incredible stuff, and it really gave me a greater appreciation for him as a basketball thinker.
It did the same for me, Darnell, and we've been pretty hard on him given his start to the head coaching tenure with the Bulls. I was impressed, though, reading through both pieces in the or both parts of the article here, that while Boylan, like, I could tell he wanted to defend himself, but I also wasn't offended that he did. The way he defended himself, though it was kind of entrenched in his basketball past, it made me kind of understand where he's coming from, that this isn't, it's not an act. It all seems earnest and honest and come by well.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that there is a bit of a sales job there. There's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. I think he is definitely campaigning in a sense, when he's talking about bulls across the chest and all of this stuff. You know, there is definitely a message that he's trying to get across, whether it's to his bosses, to his players, to free agents, whomever it might be, I think there's a sales job going on. But deep down, he does believe what he sells. And, you know, it's not an act. I think he is genuinely this type of guy, and you know, that's who he is at his core. So, yeah, we all did give him a kind of a rough start. You know, he got off to a rough start, and none of us really gave him a fair shot because of how things started. But there is a lot there, and I think that we're starting to see that in the results on the court every night.
Now, my conclusion from it, though, is he doesn't seem to have the personality type that would befit the relationship with a really good modern basketball team. You know, there's something collegiate about the way he goes about it. I don't doubt that he seems to know the game well enough. He seems to love to talk the game. He's sort of steeped in basketballness, and I've spent a lot of my life around guys like that. But I don't hear him talk like a head coach, like a manager of men, as much as like, you know, basketball guy. I think there's a spot for him on a bench. I remain dubious as to whether or not you're going to win a title with that guy at the helm.
Yeah, and that's kind of what my goal was going in. We've heard him talk so much about, you know, toughness and grit and energy and all of these buzzwords and coach speak cliches that we really didn't know what kind of basketball mind he was. And that was my goal, to try to get him to talk about a little bit of the X's and O's side of it and what he believes in philosophically and what he brings to the table from that standpoint. Because that, to me, determines whether or not he's the right guy going forward. And because he wasted so much time talking about the other stuff, you know, the intangible stuff, I think there's not much of an appreciation for what he brings from a philosophical standpoint. And, you know, is he the right guy? I think that remains to be seen. I think there is a chance that he could be the right guy for this moment. where you have a young roster and guys who are growing and developing and learning in this league, that he can teach the basics and the fundamentals. So I think there is something to be said for that.
You guys, you asked him quite a bit about the defensive struggles the Bulls have had the last, since he's taken over. I wonder, you guys weren't able to get to it in the articles, and I imagine if you asked him this specific question, he'd probably push it off because he wouldn't want to throw anybody under the bus. But do you have a sense, Darnell, of what kind of personnel he'd like to add, like what types of players he needs on next year's team in order to enact the things he's talking about in the articles here?
Well, I think he's getting them slowly, and we've got to also remember that Wendell Carter Jr. has been lost for the season. Mm. So when he gets him back as a rim protector and a guy who can pretty much go out there and guard all five positions, that's going to be a big boost to this team's defense. Otto Porter coming in and then having a full offseason and training camp to get acclimated, I think that's going to be a big boost to this team and its defense. So there are pieces in place. And then from there, I mean, you can't get everyone. You got to do some coaching. I think that's where Jim Boylan's job comes into play, where he's got to get Zach LaVine to become a better defender. He's got to get Larry Markkanen to become a better defender. He's got to get Chris Dunn to become a more consistent defender. So a little bit of it is personnel. Some of it is the injuries. The guys are out now. And then the other part of it is the coaching element, where they have to get these guys to perform better and develop.
You use the word campaign a little bit in the not Cameron Payne, the actual word campaign here. I hate to invoke that one. But the sense that I get from Boylan, and I don't know that this comes from insecurity, because this is his first shot at something like this, but I have been told that when Michael Reinsdorf is on the road, that Boylan makes sure that he's sitting next to him on the plane and doing the, you know, showing him stuff, what's going on, and being very, very basketball-y around him. And when you talk about the circumstances of the interview, the idea of, hey, come look at this, I don't know how... What level of calculation there is here, but it does seem, now that you explain sort of how this went down, is this like embedding a reporter with the troops kind of thing, where he's like, yeah, let me really show you how much I actually do know. I'm not an idiot.
I mean, I'm sure that there was an element of that to it, but who cares, right? I mean, the guy...
Oh, no, I'm not criticizing you at all.
No. And I didn't take it that way. I'm just saying, if he's out there selling it and showing you or saying, let me show you how much I know, he's within his right, in my opinion. And I appreciate him for doing it, because we get sick of hearing about Bulls across the chest and toughness and grit and all of that. I welcome the opportunity to, you know, for him to open the doors and let us in a little bit. And I think that's what he did.
I want to ask you about his coaching staff. I read you a little bit of your own piece. I know you're not probably a fan of that, but in case people missed it, here's just a little bit of a quote from Jim Boylan. I like tough guys on my staff. Pete Myers is a tough guy. Nate Losner's a tough guy. Sean Respert's a tough guy. I coach Sean. He's a tough, no-nonsense dude. John Paxson's a tough guy. He's tough. He knows what it takes. Anything else he wants from his coaches than being tough?
How about
Do you get
smart?
Any sense that he wants other? I mean, is the coaching staff set around him for next season as well?
Yeah, I didn't like that answer. I thought he got off. You know, I think he reverted back to his coach speak at that point. Maybe I shouldn't have included the answer.
No.
I just thought it was. You know, he didn't. You're right. He didn't shed much light on what else he's looking for. He wanted someone who's all about the players and who's tough, whatever that means to him. So that didn't really shed light on the kind of candidate who we could see come in here. And yes, I do think that they're going to add a veteran coach to the staff next year, someone who may have even been there before and can help Jim Boylan with in-game adjustments. I think that's the biggest thing that multiple people in the organization and outside of the organization would tell you, that he probably needs to improve still.
Do you have an actual name you could hint at here?
No.
Okay.
And when you say there, do you mean as a head coach?
Yeah, could be. I mean, you know, obviously the Bulls probably don't want to pay a ton for an assistant coach when their associate head coach who got promoted is not getting paid all that much. So, you know, there's some dynamics in play, but, you know, there's definitely an awareness within the organization that Jim Boylan could benefit, and not just Jim Boylan, but the entire staff and the roster could benefit from some additions.
Very interesting.
Yeah, quite.
And I don't know what that says when you know that you needs that kind of help. It sounds like some kind of admission, or maybe hoping that he can grow a little bit. Because here's the thing, Darnell, the players know that. We always think we take the players as some sort of static entity in this. Wouldn't that call into question in the minds of the players? Like, okay, who are we listening to here? And I've seen, as you have, NBA bench dynamics when the players start to understand who's really controlling the in-game strategy.
Yeah, I mean, I think the admission on the Bulls' part is that he's a first-year head coach and he needs help. And John Paxson said that at the top when the change was made, that they're going to give him every opportunity to earn the job on a permanent basis and give him that chance to show that he can be the guy. And I think they owe it to him to allow him to surround himself with some sharper minds, some more experienced minds maybe, on that bench next to him. And yes, the players do know. I mean, just go back to Zach LaVine's comments. How many times has he said some questionable or curious comments about some of the decisions that have been made, timeouts that they ran out of, for example, things like that. So they know that Jim Boylan's a first-year head coach, and they know that he's learning as he goes, like the players are learning as they go.
Does that mean the front office will help him hire said coaches, or do you get the sense that Jim's going to be able to do that on his own?
Yeah, it's always tricky, and the dynamics vary from team to team. But one thing that I can tell you is that Jim Boylan has a great relationship with John Paxson and Garth Ohlman, and he's got a great relationship with Michael Reinsdorf and I believe Jerry Reinsdorf even. So I think that they're going to all work in concert and try to figure out something together. I don't think it's going to be a situation where you've got half the room on one side, the other half on the other, and just chaos. I think they're going to work together.
It's all fascinating stuff, and it's really rare in this day and age for you to get that kind of opportunity and access, and to make the most of it is a pretty special accomplishment. So, Darnell, we appreciate that.
Appreciate
you joining us. Well done.
All right. Thanks, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.